In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. For those of you who don't know who this guy is, who's standing up in front of you this morning, I am Father Jacob Culp. I was Father Marcus's predecessor, and I handed St. John of the Ladder off to Father Marcus many years ago now as this little sprout like you sprout your tomatoes in the house, you know, and then they're not ready to put out in the garden yet. And I handed that to him, and he planted and watered it. You know, you've heard that one plants and another waters, and here we are. So I was the person who planted that seed many years ago. It's good to be with you here again. We're here for the consecration, Matushka Sharon and I. It's nice to be back. And I'm here for the event of the coming into the Orthodox Church this morning of the wife of our son, Elias. Our daughter and granddaughter. Many of us here, and I thought, well, I'm going to ask how many people were born into the Orthodox Church? And that would include all of the children, you know, all of the children. But many of us are converts. Many of us had to search and find Orthodoxy. Some of us were fortunate in that we found a man or a woman who was Orthodox, and we married them. And we came into the church by marriage, a wonderful way to enter into the church, by joining ourselves to someone else. And then after a time, we are chrismated because we've recognized that this is the original church, the church that was there from the beginning. But we come into the church from the world outside, a world that has already been kind of tinctured, you might say, with Christianity. And we have some assumptions, some false assumptions about the nature of the Christian faith and the Christian life. There is this once saved, always saved business. And we know that the Orthodox don't have that, but if we're converts and we come into the Orthodox Church, we might feel like, well, this is the place. Now I've found it. Once safe, always safe. And now I'm going to defend my Orthodoxy against all of that unorthodox stuff outside. Maybe against all of the unorthodoxy of our past. Maybe against all of the unorthodoxy of the political environment that we live in. And so we develop a kind of siege mentality. But this isn't what we were brought into. This is something that we've brought in from outside. There is no teaching about once safe, always safe. As a matter of fact, there is a time when we do pray in a certain kind of way for those who are safe. We pray prayers that there be no sickness, no sighing, and the rest of that, that there be peace. But that's not our baptism. That's not our chrismation. That's the panihida. That's the prayer for the departed. That's the funeral prayer. There is no sickness and no sighing once we have passed into the kingdom at the end of our lives. But when we enter into the church by baptism and chrismation, that's not our situation. There is death and resurrection into a life that must be lived. And if we look at the baptism of Jesus Christ, we see that immediately after he is baptized, he goes into the wilderness and is tempted. Immediately. And this is what we can expect when we come into the Orthodox Church, whether we come in by baptism, or whether we come in by chrismation, or whether we are born into the Orthodox Church and we grow up and then suddenly realize that there is this world out there, this world that is a wilderness, this world that is a chaos. What are we to make of it? Well, we can see and take the example of Jesus Christ after his baptism and look at his temptations in the wilderness. He goes and he confronts Satan one-on-one. All of the angels depart. They wait until after the confrontation has been accomplished, because this is the new Adam. Something is happening here that hasn't happened since the beginning. In the beginning, the first Adam was given a commandment in the midst of paradise, not in the midst of a fallen world like ours, which is the situation of Jesus Christ, but in paradise. And he is given this one little thing to do by the command of God. Don't eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And even though he is living in paradise, in communion with God, he is tempted in this little kind of way. And everything changes. The whole world changes. Our relationship to God changes. The world's relationship to God through us changes. Death comes into the world. The world is broken. And Adam has to leave, and Eve with him from the garden. But now, the devil is confronted again by a new Adam, the incarnate Son of God, who has been baptized into the fallen condition of our lives. He comes into the world, and he himself is sinless. He is in our full humanity, our perfect humanity, the new Adam. He is not fallen. The world is fallen. He lives in a fallen world, but he himself is not fallen. But he identifies himself with us in a physical and spiritual way totally by being baptized into the conditions of our spiritual life. And after he is baptized into those conditions, that's when he goes and is tempted. And the first temptation that Satan gives to him is this one. Command that these stones be turned into bread. Now this has something to do with the flesh of his incarnation, with the physical incarnation of the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. He is in our physical flesh. He has taken on our physical flesh. He is one of us, even though he remains the Son of God. He is both. And Christ is tempted. It's not simply the Son of God who is tempted. It is the Son of God incarnate. The new Adam is tempted, as the first Adam was tempted. Now this new Adam, he could, you know, there are Gnostic gospels, Gnostic teachings. It means wisdom, but it's false wisdom. Stories about Christ that were made up. Some people say they were made up as a kind of intentional popular fiction. Some people think that they were made up in order to confuse people. Well, whatever they were, one of them tells the story of when Jesus was a little boy, he went down to the beach and he took the sand of the beach and he breathed on it and threw it up into the air and it flew away as a bird. Now that didn't happen, but some people say people loved to imagine what Christ could have done, even though we don't believe that he did that. Well, there is a similarity between that and what the devil is asking Christ to do here with this bread. Yes, he could do this. But if he did, it would be showing that he is no more than the old Adam, and he is the new Adam. And the fact of the matter is that, as St. Nikolai Velimirovic says, God turns stone into bread every day. The miracle of the transformation of stone that is earth, the earth of God's creation, is transformed into bread every day. Grain grows, and God's human beings gather it and bake it and make it into bread. Now, one of my teachers, Father Alexander Schmemann, was fond of emphasizing the fact that it is only by way of a human being that the things of the world, like in this case, grain, can become bread. That our participation is critical. That bread just doesn't appear. It doesn't grow on a tree. Someone has to go and gather the grain and crush it and grind it and make it into flour and mold that flour into bread and bake it. That's Father Schmemann's emphasis. St. Nikolai Velimirovic, now there's no conflict here. No, don't get the idea that I'm saying that. But he emphasizes something else. He emphasizes the fact that God is doing all that is done. That if he does something through a human being, it is the human beings that he has created that it is done through. And it really is God who is transforming stone, earth, into bread by way of his human beings. And so this is an ordinary miracle by way of human beings, that bread would come from stone. So for the devil to tempt Jesus, he is tempting the humanity of Jesus Christ to act with the power of his divinity and make a miracle of a kind that destroys the importance of our participation as human beings by the living of our life in the world and by our work. There is, in the upper room, a moment when Jesus Christ takes bread. He who is the Son of God has eaten the food of this world and transformed it into his body. He eats the food of this world. He is fully human, fully God. He eats the food of this world. And as we as human beings transform bread into flesh and into blood, that's what happens. We eat food, it becomes our body. It becomes our blood. Jesus Christ himself too, the one who is fully God and fully man, he eats of the fruit of this world. And not just thinking of eating the food of the world, but eating all of the things that need to be done in the world by human beings in order to live. That labor that Adam and Eve were cast into in the world. He was a carpenter. He worked. He did labor. He transformed the labor of the world into his body, his muscles, his bones. Except that it is his body. It is the body of the incarnate Son of God. And he chooses to share his transformation of this physical world, including this bread, this wine. He shares that transformed bread and wine with us. Now, I'm not trying to give you some kind of alternative to, what the Roman Catholic doctrine of transmigration or whatever it is. No, but I'm trying to show you that there is this strong link between our action in the world, our work, our labor, the food that we eat, and our participation in the life that God baptizes us into. That's the important thing. The Lord confronted his tempter, Satan, alone. We are called to follow in the example, but more than the example, of Jesus Christ. If it were just an example, it would be the way it is an example of a great human hero, like the heroes of the Iliad or the Odyssey, Achilles, and, well, we don't remember those heroes anymore, but we have new heroes. We have, what, I don't know, ridiculous heroes like Batman and Spider-Man, and, you know, it's kind of hard. It's not the same thing. But we are not called upon to try to be those heroes ourselves. That's a human way of doing things. Christ, God, identified our humanity and our work with himself so that we could do our work along with him and transform the meaning of the work that we do and the food that we eat as he transforms it. In other words, after our baptism, we are going to be tempted. We're not going to have that safe haven, once safe, always safe. And this, I think, we only come to understand slowly, which is okay. We can't expect to have, well, all of the theology of the Orthodox faith and the spiritual life laid out for you before your baptism, before your chrismation, before you enter into the church. It's not a matter of doctrine and teaching. If it were a matter of doctrine and teaching, then maybe we could defend our safe place where everything is right. So it's not a matter of doctrine and teaching. It's a matter of taking on the temptations that will come to us. St. Nikolai says that God places temptations in the path of those who are baptized. Now, he doesn't lead us into temptation, but if we live in this world, we are going to be tempted. There are going to come temptations, except that we have been given weapons to fight against temptation. All of the prayers that we hear when we baptize and chrismate people and bring them into the Orthodox Church, we talk about their being newly enlisted warriors, and they're given the spiritual weapons that they need in order to go and to fight against temptation. It's completely the opposite of the idea that we're going to be safe inside of some perfect institution. St. John Chrysostom says that we are given weapons so that we can fight, not so that we can just go home and be kind of retired veterans. I've become a member of the Orthodox Church. I'm just going to sit back on my laurels. I can tell you about the great saints, the battles of spiritual life that they fought. But I myself, I'm kind of retired. I'm safe. Once safe, always safe. Here, I'll show you my old rusty weapon. No, we are given those weapons to fight against temptation. When we become Christians, our life takes on a meaning of the confrontation of evil whenever it tries to enter us. Now, we don't go out and fight evil out in the world. The problem's not in the world. Yes, we live in a fallen world. Yes, it is broken. It is twisted. But the new paradise that we are given is not like Adam's paradise. Adam's paradise was around him. Our paradise is within us. Not within us in isolation, but within us through Christ. Jesus Christ is the walking paradise, you might say, as he was in the world. And he gave us the ability to walk through chaos, to walk through the waves, to walk through the storm, and be a participant in the paradise that the new Adam is. The new Adam is this paradise. We are baptized into that paradise, Jesus the Christ, so that we can struggle against all of the temptations that will try to break us, but they break against us if we are humble and accept the gift of his victory over this world. And this is an active thing that we must do in our spiritual lives. We are baptized and chrismated into an active spiritual life, but not as lone individuals. Thank goodness. Because what happens during all of that time between, as Matushka Sharon and I were chrismated and our daughters were chrismated so long ago into the Orthodox Church, and we had no idea of any of this. Well, how can that be? It can be because it doesn't depend on us as isolated individuals. The battle is already going on. We may not realize it. We may be camp followers over here trying to find a cup of coffee, not realizing that over the hill, the real battle is taking place. And then one day we just kind of wander out and we realize there is a battle going on. The saints are struggling or have struggled in this world and have triumphed with the triumph of Christ. And that's where we belong. Our life is an engagement in that spiritual struggle. It is an active spiritual struggle. And then we go down, we go out into the world after we receive the body and blood of Christ, and it transforms us within ourselves so that we become not just newly enlisted warriors of Christ, but active warriors of Christ out in the world, not fighting against the world outside to make a safe place for ourselves, but fighting all of the struggles that come up in us whenever we are confronted by the evils of the world, whenever we are tempted by the evils of the world. We fight within ourselves and have victory within ourselves through this paradise that is Jesus Christ. And we can become like the saints, walking members of paradise. That's what we are baptized into. As members of the church, we are baptized into this holy army of those who are struggling within themselves to make us like him. Only by humility and accepting his victory can we become not newly enlisted warriors, but active conquerors of the passions and desires within us that want to make us like the world and unlike him. Jesus Christ baptized himself into our human condition in order to make us masters of that condition through his victory over sin and suffering and death. We are baptized into a death like his, that we might arise and live a life like his. But we have to be engaged. We can't just go back from the church and resume a life where none of that matters. And there is no real meaning, because the only meaning that there is to engage ourselves in this way, to engage our humanity fully in this struggle that Christ has already been victor in. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.